This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, Baruch Mabam, welcome everyone. Sorry for the delay. Parshas Koirach, welcome Baruch Mabam to the Kol Agada Perka. Again, we're going to be using this venue, Bez Hashem, over the course of June, July, August, until Elul about, and then look forward to seeing everyone personally. Parshas Koirach, also I want to cordially invite everybody. We're planning a trip to Mekoymus HaKadoshim in Belarus and Hungary and Ukraine, July 4th weekend. If anybody wants to join us, they could contact us or check out on the website, rabbidg.com. Be a pleasure to have you. Okay, Parshas Koirach. Interestingly, Parshas Koirach, more often than not, most usually, is always the week of Rosh Chodesh, as it is this week. Sometimes it's even Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. And I want to speak about the connection between Parshas Koirach and Rosh Chodesh, as well as to give some insight into the ultimate fate of Korach ve'Adasai. The Gemara reports to us in Baba Basra, on Daf Ayin Dalet, Amar Le, Rabbi Bar Chana once met a Arab merchant, and the Arab merchant said, come on, I'm going to show you where Korach was swallowed. So the Gemara says, Ta'achvi l'cha blu'e de Korach, come, I'll show you where Korach was swallowed. Chazoi chari, chazoi tre busy. He saw two cracks in the ground. V'havuka mafki kutra. And it was emanating with smoke. Shakal givava de amra. He took a ball of wool. V'amshina b'maya. He soaked it in water. Da'itzte b'roisha de rumcha. He put it on the tip of a sword. V'ayla hasam, and he stuck it in there. V'chiyapik hava ichruch, and it was singed. Ichruch ichruchi. Amar li, he said to me, atzis mai shamet. Listen to what you hear. Put your ear against the ground. V'shamet ahava amrin. And Rabbi Baruch Hanna heard that Korach v'adosai said, Moshe v'tayrosai emes v'hein ba'da'in. Moshe is true. His Torah is true, and they're a bunch of phonies. Amar Ali, the Arab said, "Kol tlasin yomi mahadilu gehenim lahacha." Every 30 days, Gehenim kicks up these swallowed members of Korach's community here. Kibasar bekalachas, like meat in a chillin plate, and like meat in a pot. If you have meat boiling in a pot, so the boiling water and the boiling food is very agitated, and usually the meat will go to the bottom and then the boiling water will kick it up to the top. So too with Korach. Korach is being cooked and fried, and every 30 days he's thrown up there like meat in a pot. Va'amri hachi, and this is what he says, Moshe, the sairasai emes, v'hein badon. Now the Gemara doesn't tell us what day of the month Korach was kicked up. Was it on the first of the month, the 15th of the month? Is he kicked up on the day that rent is due? Is he kicked up? You know, when is the Korach exactly kicked up? But the Rashbam says, and the Rashbam identifies, Kol Tlas and Yoimin, and how did the Rashbam know this? But the Rashbam says, Kol Rosh Chodesh. Every Rosh Chodesh, Korach is kicked up to the surface of the ground, and he says, Moshe, v'sayrasai, emes, v'hein ba'don. Moshe and his Torah is true, and they are phonies. So we'd like to give insight into this. In the past, we've said over from the Sefer Be'er Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Salant, and we'd like to offer a new understanding of the connection between Korach being swallowed in the ground and his declaration every Rosh Chodesh. Let's begin with the comments of the Torah. The Torah tells us something very interesting about Rosh Chodesh. The Torah says in Siman Taf Yud Zayin, quoting a Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, that what's the reason that Rosh Chodesh is considered the Yom Tov of women? So says the Torah, Lefi Shalai Ratsu Nashim Litein Nizmeyan Labalayan. Because the women did not want to give their nose rings to their husbands of Ma'aseh HaEgel. Lekach Nasan Lohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Scharan. Therefore, God gave them the reward, Sheyu Mishamrois Rashi Chadashis Yosef Anashim, that women keep Rosh Chodesh more than men. And that's why there's a custom that women have. They don't do certain kinds of malachos on Rosh Chodesh. And that's because they did not participate in the Egal. And then the Torah brings down a pshat from his brother, Rav Yehuda, that the Moyadim are Keneged Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, Pesach Keneged Avram, Shavuos Keneged Yitzchak, Sukkot Keneged Yaakov, and the 12 months of the year, which are also called Moyadim, are Keneged the 12 Shvatim. And they were originally given to the Klal Yisrael. And when we sinned by the Egal, it was taken from the men and it was given to the women to, as a reminder, as a memorial that they did not participate in the sin of the Egal. Now the language of the Torah, that Rosh Chodesh was taken away from the men and given to the women, implies that originally Rosh Chodesh was only given to the men and was not given to the women. Why would that be? Why would women not have a chelek and a participation in Rosh Chodesh at all? In other words, why is it that originally Rosh Chodesh was only the Yom Tov of the men and not the women, and then it was totally taken away from the men and given to the women? Why originally wasn't it for all of Klal Yisrael, and then it was taken away from the men? So let's see, the Torah is quoting Pirkei de Rav Lezer. Pirkei de Rav Lezer says, Aaron saw Chor was killed, and he built him his Beach. Like it says, Vayar Aaron. What did Aaron saw? He saw Chor, his nephew, was killed. So he built him his Beach. Don Aaron din Beinor Lebeinasa. Aaron had the following self-analysis. He says, if I say to them, give silver and gold, they're going to bring right away. I'm going to say, bring me your wife's jewelry and your children's jewelry. And they're going to refuse. So Aaron said, Perku. Now the women heard. They didn't want. And they weren't makabel. They said, we're not listening to you. And God gave them the reward in Olam Hazeh. What's the reward? Shehein mishamrois Rosh Chodeshim yoisim in anashim. They observe Rosh Chodesh more than men. And they have schar in Olam Haba. Which means what? Shehein asidin hischadesh kamay Rosh Chodeshim. They are destined to be invigorated and renewed like Rosh Chodesh. Shenemar hamazbiya batuv edyech. When the men saw that the women didn't listen, what did they do? Until that time, the men had nose rings in their nose, and like the Mitzrayim and like the Arabs, and they took it off. In other words, basically the men took off their nose rings. Okay? Anybody on the shir wearing a nose ring today? Okay, good. Just checking. I mean, you would still be allowed to attend. It's not an automatic disqualification. But the men took off their nose rings and they made the egel out of it, but the women did not want to participate. In fact, the Levush expands on the diuk of the Perkei de Rav Lezer. The Levush says that the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh is mutelas on women more than men because it's their Yom Tov, because Hashem rewarded them that they didn't give the nose rings to the men to make the ego, because originally it says, here the Levush spells it out a little bit further, Vayomer aleihem Aaron perku nizmei hazav asher ba'oznei nesheichem b'neichem v'noiseichem. And then b'shas ma'isa it says, Vayisparku kol ha'am. But as nizmei asher ba'ozneihem, but not ba'oznei nesheichem. That implies the women didn't want to participate. Because in the beginning, Hashem was koivea 12 Rosh Chodeshim keneged the Shvatim. That was the first mitzvah. And when Klal Yisrael sinned by the Egel, and the women didn't want to participate, Hashem took away the Kedusha of Rosh Chodesh, and He gave it to the women. Okay, now the Pirkei de Rav Lezer says something very interesting, that they take their schar in Olam Haba. What exactly does it mean that the women take their schar in Olam Haba? So the Elia Rabba, interestingly, says something very important. He says that what's the connection between women and Rosh Chodesh? So the Elia Rabba says that every month a woman is mischadeshes, and she's toivo for her husband, and she's mesaveh to be beloved by her husband, like Yom Shenichnas Alachupa, and that's similar to Rosh Chodesh, the monthly cycle of the woman, and her renewing her relationship with her husband is analogous to the new moon. Now God took away from the man and he gave it to the woman, and this is the Zechar B'Olam Hazeh and an Olam Haba. What does this mean? The Eliyahu Rabbah says something very interesting. Shehein asidin lehischadosh on Rosh Chodesh. Like the Pasuk says, Tischadesh kanesher ne'uroichi. So the Marshal says a beautiful thing. You married your wife, I don't know how long ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 197 years ago. So let's say you married your wife 197 years ago. So when you married her, let's say in the year 1743, let's say. So she was a beautiful Kala. But now, 250 years later, maybe she's not as beautiful as she was 250 years ago. So the Eliyahu Rabbah says, don't worry, Zakenois will be made young again, and they will be restored to the beauty of their youth, just like the new moon. Now, this is what I want to focus on. Says the Eliyahu Rabbah that it's mashma, that originally Rosh Chodesh was given to the men and not to the women. Otherwise, think about it. If Rosh Chodesh was given to men and women, and then men messed up, so Hashem took it away from the men. So it's not a schar for the women. What's the schar? It's a reward. It's not a reward. They had it, and they didn't sin with the ego, so they didn't lose it. But that's not a schar. The fact that Chazal say that women are rewarded with Rosh Chodesh, that implies they never had it. It belonged to the men solely, and it was taken away from the men. It was given to the women. Dimloikin maschar nosan la noshim. Ha'kfar ha'yelohem. They had it. V'chein kasa Beis Yosef. So the Beis Yosef writes, women originally didn't have Rosh Chodesh. And the reward was, it was taken away from them and it was given to, the reward was, it was taken from the men and given to the women. So I would like to analyze, why didn't women originally have Rosh Chodesh? What did they do originally that they were lacking Rosh Chodesh? So the Taz says a different shot. The Taz says no. You know, there's a concept that a tzaddik gets his chelek and the chelek of the rasha. So too, avada, women had Rosh Chodesh originally. But men also did. Then men sinned with the egel, so Hashem took away the man's portion of Rosh Chodesh and He gave the man's portion to the women. Take a look in the Taz in number 4. L'aniyaz daiti d'haschar shal yashayach u'muchan La'anoshim b'shvol zeh ha'shmir shosh chodesh. The schar that was stowed away for the men was taken from them and was given to women more than they deserve on their own. Like we find that the tzaddik takes his chelek and the chelek of the rasha. Okay, so this is all very interesting. But that's the chiddush of the Taz. The simple pshat, and this is how the Beis Yosef learns, originally, Rosh Chodesh was a very macho day. It was only for the men. Then the men sinned with the egel and was taken away from them, was given to the women. So what I would like to know is, why was Rosh Chodesh originally the man's holiday, and then now it's only the women's holiday? By the way, we once explained that La'asid La'avai, the men are going to get it back again, and this is the meaning. We know that the Yomim Tovim belong to the Avos, and the Rosh Chodesh belongs to the Banim. And that's how we daven on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. We say, Avas Oilam Tavi Lohem Ubris Avois, the covenant and the love you have with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov through the Shosh Regalim, Labanim Tizkar, restore to the Banim that Rosh Chodesh should once again become the Yom Tov of all of Klal Yisrael. Now the Birkei Yosef, the Chida, brings down in Siman Tav Chaf Gimel that we know Avram was Masakein Shachris, Yitzchak was Masakei Mincha, Yaakov was Masakei Mariv, and who was Masakei Musaf of Rosh Chodesh? Says the Chida, Musaf of Rosh Chodesh was enacted by Rachel Imenu, because she saw Baruch HaKodesh that the women in the Midbar were destined to be the ones not to sin by the Egel, and therefore Rachel alluded to her name in the opening words, Rashei Chodeshim Lam Chonosata Zman Kapara. Rashi Chadashim La'amcha, Rashi Tevois Rachel. In fact, the Chida repeats this idea in the Midbar Kedemos, Mareches Reish, Sivkat and Hey, Rachel Imenu and her Zchus, Klal Yisrael was Zoycha to Rosh Chodesh, the Rosh Tevois of Rosh Chadashim La'amcha is Rosh Tevois Rachel, and Rachel was Masaki in the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. In fact, in the Sefer Devash Lafi, the words Rachel Mevaka Albaneha, by the way, you know the gematria of Rachel Mevaka Albaneha is Elaka Demeir Anini. I thought I would just throw that in, you know, in case you were wondering. The gematria of Rachel Mevaka Albaneha is Elaka Demeir Anini. Ephraim, do we have that sefer in the back over there? It's there, okay? So, by the way, you know what else is gematria? Elaka Demeir Anini? Va'es Chanan El Hashem Bo'es. Ba'ais is gematria alaka demeir anini. Even Moshe Rabbeinu damed alaka demeir anini. And goyel u'moshia is gematria alaka demeir anini. Fine. Says the Dvash Lafi that kiyareach, like the moon, is gematria Rachel. Kiyareach, like the moon, is gematria Rachel. So we would like to try to understand the connection between Rosh Chodesh and Parshas Koyrach, and why Koyrach is kicked up every 30 days, bedafka on Rosh Chodesh. The pasuk says in Mishlei, Chachmois nashim bansa besa, the wisdom of women builds her home. But ve'iveles, and the foolish woman, biadeha seharsenu, she tears it down with her hands. A woman's wisdom builds her home. The foolishness of a wisdom of a woman tears down the home. From here we learn an important yesod. As much as you guys think that you're the man in the house, and you wear the pants in the house, and you're in charge, lots of luck. You're not in charge. You don't do nothing. You don't set the tone for the house. A successful home is because of the woman. When the house collapses, it's because of the woman. It's dependent on her. Yeah, you always have exceptions to the rule. You could have a guy who's an extra special guy, and he could take the charge in making sure the house is successful, and vice versa. A guy could tear the house down as well. But in most cases, it's the wisdom of a woman that builds her home, and it's her foolishness that tears it down. Now, Rashi says, which women are we referring to? Says Rashi, like the wife of Oyin ben Peles. She's the kind of wise woman who builds her home. And who's the kind of foolish woman who destroys her home? Ve'isha Shoita, this is the wife of Koyrach. Okay? And the Gemara famously tells us the story in Sanhedrin, Kuf Tes Amud Beis, going on to Kuf Yud Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us the story that the Oin ben Peles, why is he called Oin? He sat Ba'aninos. Peles, wonders happened to him. Ben Ruvain, he's a son who saw and understood. Amarav, Oin ben Peles, his wife saved him. She said to him, you shoita shaba'olam, what are you getting involved in this thing? What do you stand to gain? What are you going to be when this is all said and done? You'll be the executive vice president. She says, dear, I hate to break it to you. Every single person in the firm is an executive vice president. What is it going to do for you to be the executive vice? If Moshe's in charge, you'll be the executive vice president. Koyrach's in charge, you'll be the executive vice president. Guess what? And if neither of them are in charge, they'll bring in a different guy on the top and you'll still be the executive vice president. So you have nothing to gain. Imar Rabba Ant Talmida, Imar Rabba Ant Talmida. Amar Lo, he said to her, Mayi Avid, what am I going to do? I'm already, it's farfallen, I'm already stuck. Havoi Be'etza. He says, I have I already swore to them. I swore my allegiance. Amrolei, she said to him, Yadana de Kula Kanishta Kadishna. She said, I know every good Baal Machloikis is a Farfrumta Yid. Baali Machloikis are always Farfrumt. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to uncover my hair. And a frum man would never look at the uncovered hair of a woman. And they're going to run away. He says, what do you mean? They're Balei Avera. She said, they're Balei Machloikes. Balei Machloikes always cover themselves up with, you know, very religious practice. Now, this is not a religious practice. An Orthodox man, an observant Jew, cannot look at the uncovered hair of a married woman. So what did she do? She said, I'll save you. Ana metzonach. Ashkisei. She gave him his favorite bourbon, actually his favorite wine. Varvisei became drunk. V'aginisei, and he took a nap. Gavoy on the inside. Oysa abava. She sat on the outside of her home. V'sasarta lamazie, and she undid her sheitel. She undid her braids, called the Asa Chazia, anyone who came to bring him along in their dispute. Hadar, they retreated. In the meantime, they're all swallowed by the ground, and the removal of her sheitel saved her husband. So we see from here, it's true, women don't always have to cover their hair. If they're involved in saving a life, that is a heter for a woman not to have her hair covered. However, under all other circumstances, a woman has to have her hair covered. Next, says the Gemara, what about the wife of Korach? Says the Gemara, Itzei de Korach, Armalei, she said to him, Chazimai kovid mash, look what Moses is doing. Iyu have a malka, he became the king. Lachu is shavir kahana, he made his brother the kohen. Rabba, Livnei Achoy Shavinu Sagne Dekana, he made his nephew's assistant Kayanim. He asks you Truma, when Truma comes, he gives it to Aaron. When Meister comes, he takes it. When Truma's Meister comes, it goes back to the Kayan. Not only that, Kairach, he shaved you bald. You look like the American bald eagle. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't recognize you anymore. You used to be a handsome guy. Now, you don't have a stitch of hair on your head. Nowhere. He treats you like a piece of dung, she says. He's jealous of your good looks, so he shaved you off. He shaved off your eyebrows and your eyelashes, everything. Amar Allah, he said, what are you talking about? You're not mikavet. He did it to himself. She said, well, it's okay. It's because he figures he'll go down with you. Meaning he was jealous of your good looks. And then she said, you know, his mitzvahs and his explanations don't make any sense. You have to put chelas on. But if the whole garment is chelas, says the Gemara, Chachmas noshem bansa besa, that's the wife of Oin ben Peles. The Iveles biyadea ta'arsena is the wife of Korach. Now, Rashi...
What was the purpose of shaving them?
What?
What was the purpose of shaving the Levim?
Because it was fulfilling what the Almighty said. That was Hashem said. The inauguration of Levim, they had to be shaved. IinTorahAnytime.com, the shiur is called Korach's Bad Hair Day. One of the best shiurim I ever gave. No, but I only gave it once. I don't know. I never came back to it. Good shiur. Korach's Bad Hair Day.
Wow.
Okay. Remember that?
All the Levim did it, right?
Okay. What? All the Levim, yeah. All of him.
Okay. So he could say everybody did it, not only me.
Yeah, but she was saying he only made all of him do it because he was jealous of your hair. That's what the...
Okay. Thank you.
So, in the Sefer Chidushei Halev, the Sefer Chidushei Halev are the Sefer of Shmuzin, of our Rosh Hashiva, Rav Alter Chanoi Chenoch Libuas Zechazak Levracha, written by Hagoyin Rav Binyamin Luban Shlita. He quotes this Rashi in Mishlei. And if Chazal we say that the Pasuk Chochmas Noshim Ban Sabesa refers to Oin Ben Peles and the wife of Korach, that implies that the reason why these women were successful influencing their husbands is because they were married to them. Which means it is human nature for a husband to be influenced by his wife. In fact, a woman could influence her husband more than anyone else in his life. And the reason why Korach went off was because of the bad influence of his wife. Basically, Korach lost his life because of the bad influence of his wife. On the other hand, Oin ben Peles was saved because of her influence. So from here we see that in a person's life, who influences you? Your Rav, your Rebbe, your Chavrusa on Torah anytime. No, none of the above. The main influence is your wife. In fact, the Sefer Chassidim writes on the Pasuk in Tehillim Perek Lamed Beis, Al Zois Yispalel Kol Chosid Eilecha La'is Mitzoy, And the Chachamim Darshan La'is Mitzoy Zu Isha. One has to daven that Hashem send him a good wife. Now, says the Sefer Chassidim, Nohug Sheba Oilam Ha'ish Karach Achar Isha. Human nature is the woman influences the husband and not vice versa. Shenemra Ba'yachav Asher Hissusa Oisa Yizevel Ishtai. So now, there are exceptions. I know people, the husband influenced the wife. But in the overwhelming vast majority of the cases, the interface is mostly the other way around. It's the woman who influences the husband. I've seen in my very limited experience, people of all ages, 90-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, where in most cases, if somebody is a Ben Aliyah, you could take it back to the wife. In most cases, if a guy is going in the wrong direction, same thing. Not in all cases, but in most cases. Anyway, the Sefer Chassidim says there's a story about a chassid who married a righteous woman. A little while later, he gave her a get, and he married a bad woman, a reshanta. And this woman went, and she married a rasha gamur. The chassid who married the reshanta became mamish and oisfarf, and the rasha who married the chassida, he became a tzaddik. Therefore, make sure you get yourself a good wife. Why? Because your future, your ruchnias, is very much dependent on it. In fact, the following is not for a general audience, so if there are any ladies listening, it's not for you. And if you want to listen, you listen on your own risk. Says the Sefer Chassidim, Lachain kol yirei Hashem, al yikach etza me'ishta b'dvar mitzvah. Never ask your wife advice regarding mitzvahs. Why? Mipnei she'eineha tzara. Because a woman is by nature more stingy than a man. A man is more of a generous spirit than a woman, even if she's God-fearing. Meaning, notwithstanding anything we just said, don't ask your wife how much tzedakah to give. Because women by nature are more stingy. Who is a greater God-fearing woman than Sara Imenu? But when Avram said, Ma'ari shloisim kemach soiles, what did she do? Instead of giving soiles, she gave kemach. And Chazal say, from here we see women, einel tzar ba'orchem. So basically, make sure you get a good wife. When it comes to money and mitzvahs, how much money you should spend on a dvar mitzvah, how much money you should give tzedakah, then have a discussion with her about Israeli politics, but not about how much money to give. Okay, bottom line is, a woman yields a very powerful influence on her husband. In fact, going back to Parsha Shlach, there's a famous kasha that Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalo for Yehoshua. Why wasn't he mispalo for Kalev? It's nepotism. What's going on over here? Why does only Yehoshua get a tefillah from Moshe Rabbeinu? Why doesn't Kalev get a tefillah? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky famously says that Kalev doesn't need a prayer because he's married to Miriam. And if you're married to a tzaddikas, she would make sure that he stayed on the straight and the narrow. If he dared come home and said, she said, who are you hanging out with? And he would say, I'm hanging out with Gadi ben Susi from the Meraglim. She said, what's that guy up to? I'm a little suspicious. And he said, I don't know, with the grapes. She would say, you stay away from those people. I don't want to see you going out. If I see you going out one more time, I won't put potatoes in the cholent. And that's it. Kalev would make sure not to hang around the Meraglim. I always like to suggest another reason why Moshe Rabbeinu did not daven for Kalev, and he davened for Yehoshua, is because actually Kalev had a different wife. Actually, if you look in Divrei Hayamim, Kalev had four wives. One of Kalev's wives was named Bisya, the daughter of Paroi. Now I want to tell you something very interesting. Bisya, the daughter of Paroi, and Sipora, the daughter of Yisrael, were sisters. Say, what? That's right, Bisya was the adopted daughter of Paroi, and Sipora was the adopted daughter of Yisrael, and they were both found in the market, and they were sold on the market. They were very beautiful. Paroi bought Bisya, and Sipora was bought by Yisroi, says the Medrash Talpiyos. So it comes out, now the Gemara Megillah says, that if you look in Divrei Hayamim, it says that Kalev had another name, Mered, the rebellious one. And that's because he rebelled against the counsel of the Meraglim. And the Gemara says, he rebelled against the counsel of the Meraglim, and Bisya rebelled against the ways of her father, and therefore, they were meant for each other, and Kalev married Bisya Bas Parai. By the way, it comes out, Moshe and Kalev were brother-in-laws twice over. How's that? Kalev was married to Miriam, Moshe's sister, and Moshe was married to Tzipora, who was Bisya's sister. So Kalev was a double brother-in-law with Moshe Rabbeinu. Kalev was married to Moshe's sister. Kalev was married to Tzipora's sister. Okay, bottom line is, maybe the reason why Moshe didn't have to daven for Kalev is not as much that Miriam would protect Kalev, Bisya would protect Kalev. Because Bisya's mida was she rebelled against her father, so she had the backbone to go against the tide and to stand up for what's right, even against social pressure. And maybe that's what gave Kalev the fortitude. Okay, the bottom line is, Korach had a downfall because of his wife. Oyin ben Peles was saved because of his wife. Now let's talk about a very deep subject. It's so deep, I don't know if we're going to have a good answer for it, but it's definitely a good question. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, women are very righteous. They like to do mitzvahs. Most women, they come to hear shofar, even though they're not mechuyeves in shofar. It's a mitzvah saseh shezman groma. Many women sit in the sukkah. Many women take a lulav and esrog. One mitzvah you'll never see women do is they don't do kiddush levana. I've never seen women do kiddush levana, although, you know, things change these days. But I have yet to see any women participate in kiddush levana. Why not? So the Magen Avraham says, let's make this a little bit bigger. Rabbi Rachmiel, how you doing? Shalom Aleichem. Haven't seen you in a bit. Nice to see you. The Magen Avraham says that mitzvah saseh shehazman grama, that kiddush levana is a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. Aye, says Magen Avraham, women are mekayim many mitzvah saseh shehazman grama, like sukkah, but they're not mekayim kiddush levana because they were goyrim the pagam halavana. They caused the moon to be diminished. So that's a mitzvah that they don't participate in. Now, presumably, how did they cause the moon to be diminished? When Chava fed Adam from the Eitz Hadas, somehow that caused the Pagam Halavana. Presumably, that's what it means. Where does this come from? It comes from the Shla. Fine, let's look up the Shla. So the Shla writes in the Shara Oisiois that it's a nice custom here in Yerushalayim to say after the Bracha, Mizmar, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Kel B'Kodshai. It's very nice to say it, to arouse the light of the moon above, which is Malchus Beis David. That's why we invoke David Melch Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. By the way, the gematria of David Melch Yisrael Chai V'Kayim is Rosh Chodesh. That's why the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that in a time of Gezerah, when Rebbe wanted to know if it was the new moon, they would just say David Melch Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, and that was code word for Rosh Chodesh. Then you say Tana Bei Rabbi Shmuel Ilu Loizachu Yisrael Al Hakbil Pnei Abim Shosh Man Pamaz Rosh Dayam. Fine, that's what we do. What else do we got over here? The Shla continues. The Shla says. Then you say Kaddish Drabanan. And this is very nice because La'asid Lavoi the Pekam Alavana will disappear, and the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. And then Yiskadeo Yiskadei Shmei Rabba. And God's name will be complete, and His throne will be complete. Ah, says the Shla, in my opinion, that's why women stay away from Kiddush Levana. Aye, they're Mekai many mitzvahs, like Shofar, like Lulav. You never saw a woman be Mekai Levana. They could be very religious. You know why? Because they caused the Pagam HaLevana. How? The Chet of Chava. And therefore they stay away from the moon because they're embarrassed. I asked the Shla, but what do you mean? They stay away from the moon because they're embarrassed. But they were masaking it by the Chet HaEgel. Remember, who persuaded the Jewish people to make the Egel? The Satan, the Nachash. And that's why they were given Rosh Chodesh, like in Pirkei Reb Lezer. Yeah, but nevertheless, since she brought the snake to the world in the first place, so and she brought the snake to the world. She made the snake part of our reality. So that's why the men listened to the snake by the egel, and we're not completely purified from it. Therefore, since the women stay away from the levana. So in other words, even though they corrected by the egel, but the whole egel is their fault, because they brought the snake to the world when Chava was seduced by the snake. Now I would just suggest one thing, that maybe this is the reason why they were never given Rosh Chodesh in the first place. Remember we asked, why was Rosh Chodesh given to the men and not to the women? The answer is, the same way women stay away from Kiddush Levana, because they're responsible for the Begam HaLevana, so they made some element of correction by the Cheir HaEgel, but for starters, the moon was something they were embarrassed about, and therefore Rosh Chodesh was not given to them. But by the Cheir HaEgel, God took away Rosh Chodesh from the men, He gave it to the women. But Kiddush Levana, you know, they don't like to rub shoulders too much with the moon. It's a little embarrassing for them. That's what it seems like, even though I don't have an explicit source, that that's why they were not given Rosh Chodesh to begin with. But here's the million-dollar question. Does this make any sense? Why are we blaming the women? I mean, maybe they're a convenient scapegoat over here, but how are they responsible for the Pagam HaLevana? You know, it's very hard to blame something for somebody for something they didn't do. When was the moon made small? On what day of creation? On the fourth day of creation. God made two great luminaries, and then the moon said there can't be, there's not enough room for the two of us, so God made the moon small. Chava was not around. Adam was not around. The Nachash was not around. How in the world could we blame Chava for the Begam HaLevana? She wasn't even created yet. What is this supposed to mean even? I was always wondering about that. How do we blame women for the Begam HaLevana if they were not around when God made the moon? I believe the Aruch HaShulchan asks this question. The Aruch HaShulchan says, anyone who is Mevarech L'Chodesh B'Zmana, it's like being Mekabel Pnei Shechina. It says, HaChodesh HaZeh. And it says, Zeh Keli V'Aveyu. And Rabbi Shmuel taught, El Molei Lo Yizachu B'nei Yisrael Ela Lahakbil Pnei Aviyam. So we see Kiddush Levana is a big inyan. It's like being Mekabel the Shechina. By the way, if anybody wants to come with us, July 4th, we'll be visiting Nevarduk and the Kever of the Aruch HaShulchan, as well as the Mishnah Brura, as well as the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He says, B'vada yesh b'zeh soidois gedoilois v'noirois. There are very awesome and great secrets here. Ka'asher herichu chach mea Kabbalah, like the sages of the Kabbalah teach. She'inyin miyod hayareach ve'inyin cheid ad marisha noigim ze laze. Somehow there is some connection between the diminution of the moon and the sin of Adam. How? How? We don't know. Soidois gedoilois v'noirois. Awesome and great secrets. Ula asid lavai, and in the future, she'esuka necheid adam arishayin, when the sin of Adam will be rectified, then the miyud halavana will also be rectified. And regarding that time, it says, v'haya ar halavana karachama. So the question is, what does the diminution of the moon gotta do with the sin of Adam? And the answer is, basically, v'hamei v'nyavin, it's above our pay grade. These are the secrets of the Torah. But at least we know it's a good question, and we don't really have an answer that, you know, we could explain. This is addressed by the Ben Ish Chai in his Tshuvas as well, in the Rav Pa'alim, Chelek Dalet Siman Lamed Dalet. Why don't women participate in Kiddush Levana? Says Rav Pa'alim. The Shlosh says they were goyim the Pagam HaLevana, that the Pagam HaLevana was created from the Siba of Chava. And therefore, women who are Nigrar after Chava, and they're connected to Chava, they are more responsible for the sin of Adam, and they don't participate in Kiddush Levana. By the way, that's why women have three mitzvahs, Nida, Chadla, and Hadlakas Haner. It's because of the sin of Chava. And the Shla writes, interestingly, just like the Levana the pegima is not nesmale until 7 days. A woman takes 7 days till she becomes mutter to her husband. And just like the cycle of the moon is 30 days, the cycle of the woman is 30 days. However, says the Rav Pa'alim, in full disclosure, this idea of the shla does not appear anywhere in the writings of the Arizal. This is, so to speak, the shla's own idea, that women were responsible for the pegam halavana, and therefore they are not mekash levana. We still don't really understand what this means fully. The Kloisenberger Rebbe has a tshuva. A number of years ago, I don't remember how many years ago, must have been about 10 years ago or so, they had the Birchas Hachama, right? Every 28 years, the sun goes back to its cycle. And do women participate in Birchas Hachama? So the Kloisenberger Rebbe says that Maizeda, the Chacham Tzvi, held as that it's obvious that women are not mevarech Birchas Hachama. From the fact that it says in the Sefer Noye Katzoin Yosef that the inyan of Kiddush Levana, Mari V'chomizal, in the Shal Sechuvas, the reason why women are not mekadesh sechoidesh is because they caused the moon's diminution. And therefore the Chacham Tzvi says, according to that, they should make Kiddush Hachama, because what are they? There's no reason for them not to. However, the Noye Katzon Yosef argued women should, and he brought it to the attention of the Chacham Tzvi, and he was maskim. However, elsewhere the Chacham Tzvi is mashma that they should stay away from it. However, the Kloisenberger Rebbe quotes the Shla that women don't make Kishvana because they cause the diminution of the moon. So says the Kloisenberger Rebbe, it's true, the Chacham Tzvi is moida that if the only reason for women not to make a bracha is because they cause the diminution of the moon, by Kiddush Hachama, where that reason doesn't apply, they should make the bracha. However, the Chacham Tzvi is of the opinion women don't make a bracha on any mitzvah saseh shazman grama. By the way, that is the opinion of the Sfardim. Sfardim hold, not Sifardim. I'm not talking about the Sifardim in Mitzrayim, I'm talking about the Sifardim, the Jews from Sifarad. The Sifardim hold, women do not make a bracha on a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, nor are they allowed to make a bracha on a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. So a woman cannot make a bracha on Lulav, or on Sukkah, or on Shofar, or for that matter, Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach. That is the opinion of the Chacham Tzvi, that is the opinion of many Rishonim, and that is the opinion of Maran Chacham Rabbi Avadya. And that is why Rabbi Avadya says, you want to send your Sfardi daughter to an Ashkenazi school? No problem, she cannot daven with them, because she's going to be saying many brachas of Atala. That's the Messiah of Sfardim, not to make a bracha on Mitzvah Sashir Zaman Grama. Fine. And therefore, the Kloisenberger Rebbe says, our women, they go like the Chacham Tzvi and like the Sanz Arav, that there's some kind of mystical reason for women not to make a bracha on any mitzvah saseh shazman grama. And then the Kloisenberger Rebbe says something interesting. What in the world does a shla mean? Chava caused the pegam halavana? That doesn't make any sense. The levana was nismayit before Chava was created. Says the Rebbe, these are dvarim amukin tamurin muvarim al derech hanisvainly esugnistarois. This is a very deep Kabbalistic secrets. I don't engage in it. However, bepashtos you could say as follows. It says in Yeshaya, the moon will be like the sun, and the sun will be seven times the strength of the sun. So from there we see not only was the moon made small, the sun was also made smaller. And maybe therefore women should not make Birchas Hachama. Bottom line is, we don't have any reason that we could understand what it means that the woman was responsible for the Pegam Halavana, but that is our tradition based on the Shla, that women are responsible for the Mir Halavana, and I think this would explain why women were not given Rosh Chodesh originally, because they made the moon small, and therefore it was only given to the men. And then when the women overcame the temptation of the Egel, God gave them Rosh Chodesh, they still don't do Kiddush Levana, like the status of Rosh Chodesh was to them originally. Now, here's another attempt to try to explain the connection between the Yichid of Chava and the diminution of the Levana. There's another interesting halacha. The Rama says women don't drink from Havdalah. Why not? So the Magen Avraham brings down another Shla. The same way the Shla says women don't make a bracha on the Levana because they were goyim pegam halavana, women don't drink from Havdalah because the Eitz Hadas was Geffen, and by drinking, by giving to Adam Arishon from the Eitz Hadas, she was Mavdil from Adam, therefore women don't drink from Havdalah. Now this is a very misunderstood halacha. Women are very scared to drink from Havdalah. It's not aser for them to drink from Havdalah. It's just a minog. But women are chayiv in Havdalah. Therefore, if the husband is not home, she should not hear Havdalah on the telephone. She will not be yoytze on the telephone. She must make Havdalah herself and drink, because she is mechuyeves in Havdalah. This is just a minhag. And people have to make sure not to get carried away and mix and conflate minhag and absolute halacha. So yes, we abide by all Jewish customs, Yisudasam Hare Kaidash, Minog Yisrael Torah, but they don't have the strength of definitive halacha. And here's a very important instance. A woman, if her husband's making Havdalah, she shouldn't drink for a Kabbalistic reason. Her husband's not around, or for whatever reason, she's not going to hear Havdalah. She needs to make Havdalah herself and drink it. Now, so the Sefer Kinyan Torah asks, I saw somebody ask, the Pagam Halavana was on Wednesday, and the Chet of Adam Arishon was on Friday. So he says, not a question. They're still dependent on each other. Why? He quotes the Abderav. On the Pasuk, Vatoytze Haaretz Eitz Oisepri, that Rashi says that the trees did not begin to grow, the tree didn't listen. Hashem wanted the tree to taste like the fruit, and the tree only produced fruit, but the tree did not taste like fruit. So the question is, what do you mean the tree didn't listen? The tree doesn't have a Yetzer Hara. So the Abderav says that the tree did it, the Avera Lishma, to be Melitz Toivan Adam. Adam would ultimately sin, and he's created from the Adama. So this way, when Adam sinned, Adam could say, what do you want? You made me out of bad material. The ground already sinned. That's why it says, V'zacharti z'zayaka v'ha'aretz ezkar. God remembers the earth from which we're created. So too, the Pagam Halavana that came earlier is dependent on a later thing, the Chet of Chava. What does this mean? The Archaim HaKadosh writes that in the word Bereishis, all the Kol Masa Bereishis, Mala Umata, Ka'ach, everything was created simultaneously on the first day with the Koyach HaHiyuli, and then each thing was just positioned out on each particular day. And in that case, there's no question from what came first and what came later. I'll let you figure out what he means. I'm not clear exactly what he's trying to say, but it seems like since everything was created simultaneously, somehow the ultimate sin of Chava had an effect even on sinful behavior of the moon that occurred earlier. Be it as it may, women are very much connected to the cycle of the moon. Originally, we're theorizing that women were not given Rosh Chodesh because they were poigim in the Levana. But then they overcame it to some extent by the Chet HaEgel. But as the Svarim teach us, as the Shla teaches us, that even though they overcame it at the Chet HaEgel, but ultimately the men were persuaded by the Nachash, who the women are responsible for, so even though they get Rosh Chodesh, they still did not take Kiddush Levana, but for now women have the Yom Tov of Rosh Chodesh. So Rosh Chodesh definitely symbolizes the woman, her state before the Chet HaEgel, namely the sins she brought to the world, and her status after the Chet HaEgel, her being saved from the Chet HaEgel. And based on Chazal, Korach was swallowed because of the kayach of his wife. His wife persuaded him. Listen to, now I don't know if his wife was swallowed, but certainly Kairach was swallowed. On the other hand, Oin ben Peles was saved because of the chachma of his wife. So therefore, every Rosh Chodesh, every 30 days, Kairach resurfaces and he declares and he proclaims, Moshe v'sayrasa emes, v'sayrasa v'anachnu ba'adoim. Why does he dafka do this on Rosh Chodesh? Kairach has to make this declaration on the Yom Tov of Nashim to indicate what the shoresh of his chet is and what needs tikkun. Namely, the shoresh of his chet was his Chava, who fed him from the Eitz Hadas and persuaded him and who incited him in this rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu. But ultimately, his tikkun is on Rosh Chodesh as well, because it is the tikkun of the Isha that will ultimately bring Rosh Chodesh back to its desired state, which is Va'avas avas oylam tavi lahem ubris avois, avas oylam tavi lahem ubris avois labanim tizkar. So this perhaps explains an element of connection between Kairach's declaration on Rosh Chodesh and the whole episode. Certainly it's worthy to try to think, what is the connection between the Chet of Chava and the Pagam Halavana? And we should all be zoicha to the day that the light of the moon becomes like the light of the sun. By the way, there's a masechta called Moed Katan. And Moed Katan has in it an interesting set of halachos, Hilchos Chol HaMoed. What in the world do Chol HaMoed have to do with Hilchos Avelos? You know, it's an interesting couple. Masechta Moed Katan talks about Avelos, and it talks about Chol HaMoed. What do these two things have to do with each other? So the Sefer Maaseh Rekeach Rav Elazar of Amsterdam, he brings that we know that all tragedy in the world, all is traced back to what is called the Pagam Halavana. Now, in our existence today, we have something called Moed Gadol and the Moed Katan. Moed Gadol is Yom Tov proper, Moed Katan is Chol HaMoed. But the Zayar compares the Yom Tov to Shabbos and Chol HaMoed to the moon. So the reason why we have sort of Moed Katan, similar to the Ma'ar HaKatan, is because of the state of the world being, we live in a world of Pagam HaLavana. But La'asid Lavoi, we're not going to have not Avelos, and we're not going to have Chol HaMoed. The same way Avelos will be Bila Maves LaNetzach, so too Chol HaMoed will be Moed Gadol, like the Mar HaKatan will once again be the Mar Gadol. That's the connection, he says, between these two subjects in Masechta Moed Katan. So we're looking forward to these subjects becoming obsolete. And until then, I wish everybody a wonderful day. You could join us today at 5 o'clock for the Igeres Musar of Rabbi Sol Salanter for 10 minutes. Have a great day, everyone. Kol Tov.
Thank you so much.
Baruch.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.